ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसादाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवदन्त स्वामिनिति नाम्ने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रसादने निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाशाक्षरेश करणे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत वेदांता श्री गौरवाणी वृंद।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा बाबू कैनो सिंह चैप्टर 83 वर्स 5। श्री ऋषि उवाच इति श्लोक मनी जनेषु। अभिस्तु वस्तु अंधक कौरव प्रिय समेत्य गोविंद कता मितो अग्रनाम श्री लोक गीता श्रणु वर्णयामि ते। श्री
ऋषुर्वाचुत्तम
श्लोक सिकमानी जनेषु अभिष्टु वास्तम दक्का कौरव समेत्य गोविंद कथा मितो गुणाम श्रीलोक गीता सुनवानयामि ते। उत्तम श्लोक सिका मनीं जनेषु अभिस्तु वस्तु अन्धक कौरव स्त्रिया समेक्य गोविंद कथा मितो गुणाम श्रीलोक गीता सुनवानयामि ते। Shri Rishi Uvacha, the great sage Sukadeva said, iti, thus, uttama sloka, great personalities, were glorified in choice poetry, Shikha Muni, the crest jewel Lord Krishna, Janeshu, his devotees, Abhishtu Vastu, while they were glorifying Andaka Kaurava, Andaka and Kaurava clans, Striya, women, Samekya, meeting, Govinda Katha, topics of Lord Govinda, Nitta, among one another, Agranam, spoke, three, Loka, in the world, Gita, sung, Srunu, please hear. Varnayami, will describe. Hey, to you, translation, the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, as Yudhisthira and the others were thus praising Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of all sublimely glorified personalities, the women of the Andhaka and Kaurava clans met with one another and began discussing topics about Govinda that are sung throughout the three worlds. Please listen as I relate these to you. Text 67, Sri Draupadi said, O Vaidarbhi, Bhadra and Jambavati, O Kausala, Satyabhama and Kalindi, O Shaivya, Rohini, Lakshmana and other wives, of Lord Krishna. Please tell me how the Supreme Lord Achyuta, imitating the ways of this world by his mystic power, came to marry each of you. Purport, the Rohini addressed here by Draupadi is not Lord Balaram's mother, but another Rohini, the foremost of the 16,000 princesses Lord Krishna rescued from the prison of Bhaumasura. Draupadi turns to her as a representative of all 1,600 and as a virtual equal to Sri Krishna's 8 chief queens. Translating the great sage Sukadeva Goswami says, Yudhisthira and the others were thus praising Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of all sublimely glorified personalities. The women of the Andaka and Kaurava clans met with one another and began discussing topics about Govinda that are sung throughout the three worlds. Please listen as I relate these to you. Sri Draupadi said, O Vaidarbhi Bhadra and Jambavati, O Kaushala, Satyabhama and Kalindi, O Saibhya, Rohini, Lakshmana, and other wives of Lord Krishna, please tell me how the Supreme Lord Achyuta, imitating the ways of this world by his mystic power, came to marry each of you. So this whole discussion takes place at Kurukshetra when the people of Dwarka, along with Lord Krishna and the Pandavas and the Brajavasis, meet together on the occasion of the eclipse. At that time they were going to bathe together. So this chapter is a discussion mainly about the concerning how the different queens married Krishna. The first few verses were a praise of Krishna by Yudhisthira and others. And then from this point onwards we have a narrative of all the different ways in which Krishna won the different queens. So as we know, Krishna had 16,108 queens in Dwarka. Sometimes that is criticized because how can God have so many wives? And that is true, so therefore we also have Rama. Rama only had one wife. So the Lord can do anything. So he displays one pastime where he has a vow of taking only one wife, and that is very, very good. And at the same time, we have an example here with Krishna of how he's not restricted, just as the avatars and their forms are not restricted. So the forms of the Shakti of the Lord are also not restricted. So he has 16,108 queens in Dwarka. That is actually nothing. That's a very limited number. 16,108 is nothing. We hear that in the Rasa Lila, Krishna had 3 billion gopis. So, 3 billion. And of course, if we go to the spiritual world, we'll find more than 3 billion even. So, Krishna has so many consorts. So, for us in the material world, this is a little bit inconceivable how one person can have so many wives or girlfriends or whatever. So, the truth is that one, Krishna is God, and second, these women are not ordinary women with material bodies. We know, of course, that Radha has, Radha is the personification of the Hladini Shakti of Krishna. She is the supreme consort of Krishna. And then we have the Asasakis, and we have other groups of Sakis also. So in this way we'll have over 3 billion gopis, who are all expansions of Shakti, more or less. And then we have, of course, have the Jivas, who are may join into the groups belonging to the Sakis also, from those who do sadhana and attain the spiritual world and Madhura Rasa. We have all those groups also. The Lord has unlimited consorts. But what this represents actually is simply the fact that Krishna is the enjoyer, and Hladini Shakti is the bliss shakti. This is how he gets his enjoyment. We know that Krishna is ananda. He is full of bliss. In fact, he is sandarananda, condensed bliss. That intense bliss is expressed not by himself, but in combination with his Kladini Shakti. That is how the breath of the... In other words, it takes two to make the real highest bliss. Krishna and his greatest devotee. So we have the Kladini Shakti then. So, in this way, we could say, well, how can the Lord be independent? If he's independent, he should be blissful by himself. So that is also true. We know that the Lord is Atmaram. Even sages are Atmaram. They're very content in themselves. Brahmanandis are Atmaram. The Lord is the supreme Atmaram. He is content in himself. However, he expresses the highest bliss in a relationship with his devotees. And the highest representation, of course, is Radha and other Shaktis who are expansions of that. So when we have these different queens in Dwarka or the gopis in Vrindavan, we should not think of them as simply ordinary women. They're actually Shakti of the Supreme Lord, his eternal Shaktis. Relationship, of course, is Madhurya Rasa, or the conjugal relationship. That may also be criticized. Someone may criticize, how can God have a conjugal relationship? He should be completely detached. So that is one of the qualities of Bhagavan. We have the six qualities of Bhagavan, and one is Vairagya. God is greater than any sannyasi or any Vairagi. He's completely detached from anything. But of course we also know Krishna is completely attached to the devotees. So these are the greatest devotees. So therefore he's very attached to them. So when we talk about Vairagya, that means Krishna is completely detached from anything in the material world and any material pleasure. So in that sense, yes, the Supreme Lord is completely detached from matter. But as far as a bliss in the spiritual world, Krishna is completely attached to the devotees. So that is not a fault of the Lord. If the Lord were completely detached from all devotees, then what would be the meaning of going to the spiritual world if the Lord didn't like you? So the whole idea here is to understand that Krishna and the devotees express bliss in the spiritual world. And that is natural for the Lord to express his bliss to others. The Lord is not really dependent in the sense that we will think. It is by his free will that he has these expansions in the spiritual world. Then he derives great bliss from them. So, in Vrindavan we have the gopis, and correspondingly we have the queens in Dwarka. So, when people criticize, of course, they will criticize, you think this is a material thing, Krishna's a materialist, and he's trying to enjoy like a materialist, not with one woman, but with 16,108 women. So that must be very bad. But as I pointed out, this has nothing to do with the material world. It's not like material enjoyment. So, Krishna is God, and all of these queens are highest devotees, with no material desires. So we cannot criticize on that point. Someone may criticize, well, how is it possible for one person to satisfy 16,108 women or 3 billion gopis? That is rather ambitious for any one person. But we should understand that God is not limited like us. So we understand that in Dwarka, Krishna was living in Dwarka, and he built 16,108 palaces in Dwarka, and one queen in each palace. So they're all separate from each other. And Narada Muni one day decided, I will go and see Krishna and see how he's doing in Dwarka. So he went to Krishna and there he saw Rukmini and Krishna having some discussion, as husband and wife. But Narada Muni is very special. And he has special power. He can travel like that. At the speed of the mind. In other words, there's no distance for Narada Muni. Because he can travel around the universe as he wills. And it doesn't take him 1 year to go across the universe or whatever. He can go like that. So, he was in that palace. Then he went to another palace. And immediately he saw Krishna, same Krishna, in another palace with another queen. And he was doing something different. And he was a little bit amazed. And immediately he went to another palace. And he saw Krishna again. And Krishna was doing something different. And this, he went from palace to palace on really quick. And there was Krishna everywhere. So that was astonishing. One, that it looked the same, like the same Krishna, but he was doing different things simultaneously. So in other words, Krishna, by his inconceivable potency, can expand himself. And the form is not different. It is still Krishna. It's not that Krishna has an expansion, it's got partial powers here and partial powers there, and has partial knowledge. No. Each was complete Krishna. And we cannot say who was the original one. Huh? They all looked alike, they all acted alike, but they were doing different things. So this was very amazing for Narada Muni. He had not seen how God can expand himself so much simultaneously. Not only that, he also saw by the yoga maya potency of Krishna, which is discussed here, the mystic power of Krishna. He also saw that actually, even though he went simultaneously to each palace, and it should be literally the same time or a few seconds difference, he saw actually different things happening at different parts of the day. That's one Krishna was morning activities, one he was getting ready to go to the assembly, one he was getting ready to go out and hunt in the afternoon. So, what, summer in the evening. So he went from palace to palace. He actually saw different times of the day going on simultaneously, one instant, up and out in different palaces, different parts of the day. And not only that, he also saw different seasons taking place. So some were festivals, preparing for festivals in the spring, some preparing festivals for the autumn. So in this way, all parts of the year and parts of the day were also represented simultaneously in the different palaces by the power of Krishna. So this actually is nothing remarkable, because Krishna has inconceivable potency. And what does he do this for? He does this to satisfy everybody. Not only with the queens of Dwarka. Krishna in Vrindavan, when he was with the gopis, then he expanded himself and he was with each gopi. And that way, each gopi thought, Krishna's only with Radha, and we have this big circle of gopis around, Krishna's in the middle of Radha. They didn't think like that, because they looked next to him, there was Krishna. So they thought, oh, Krishna's with me, with nobody else. And each gopi was satisfied. And similarly with the palaces. Krishna was in each palace, and each queen thought, oh, Krishna's with me tonight. And actually he comes to me every day. So he likes me better than all the other queens. And then Narada, when he saw that Krishna, finally the morning was over, and he got ready, and he prepared himself to go to the assembly. Every day he would go to the assembly and meet with the yadus, and they would discuss, you know, different things. So he got ready. Then he went out of the house, and when he went out of the house, as a palace, as each palace, then they all joined together into one form. And everybody only saw one form go to the assembly. So then everyone thought, oh, Krishna's only one. And then when he went to the palace, he suddenly expanded himself into those forms. So these forms are actually called prakash. They are the same as Swayamrupa Krishna. Krishna is Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. And each of these forms is also Swayam Bhagavan. Nothing less. It's called prakash, where Krishna does this. So he does that in Vrindavan. He also with the gopis, he expands himself, and then he's with each gopi. Yeah? Of course, it's a little more difficult in Vrindavan, because there was no palaces there. So there was no isolation. The gopis were in a ring, and the Krishna was between each gopi. So then each gopi would say, wow, there's 3 billion Krishnas all around. But by the strangeness of power of Krishna, nobody saw that. Each gopi only saw one Krishna with them. So there are 3 billion Krishnas there, but nobody could see that. So, this is the extraordinary Yogamaya potency of Krishna. Yogamaya is Maya, which means illusion in one sense. But we know there's no illusion in the spiritual world, not in the sense of material illusion. But, for pastimes, Krishna hides some things from the devotees, and some things he reveals. So the potency which hides some things and then reveals them is Yogamaya in the spiritual world. Yeah? So Krishna will hide the fact that he has 3 billion forms to each gopi, and then they only see one Krishna. So this is Yogamaya. This is the power of Krishna. Why he does this? Because of pastimes, because of relationships with each devotee. So by hiding that, each gopi is satisfied. Krishna is with me. The same in Dwarka. So this is not only there for the, you may think, well, that's the gopi, so you have to become a gopi. Then Krishna will expand himself. No, he does that with others also. So it is said when Krishna was with the cowherd boys also, they would every day they would go out and Krishna would have, I don't remember the number of cows, but it was also billions of cows and calves, etc. And there was also millions and millions of cowherd boys. And they would go out every day and herd the cows. And with them they would take a little packet of lunch that their mother had made. And they would tie it up in a cloth and put it on a stick and have that on their shoulder. And they would go out. And so at lunchtime they would have their meal. And they would all sit down, all these millions of cowherd boys and Krishna in the center. So then we'll think, well, how is it possible? Look at people that are Krishna in the center, no one will see him. Yeah. But that's not so. Every single cowherd boy saw Krishna facing him. So Krishna expanded himself for each cowherd boy, and each cowherd boy thought, oh, Krishna's eating with me today. I'm very special. Krishna's very favorable to me. He likes me. So each cowherd boy was very, very pleased. They could eat lunch with Krishna personally. So in this way, Krishna satisfied all the cowherd boys, again by his expansions. So all of this takes place because Krishna likes to please his devotees. When the devotees are pleased, then they fall in love with Krishna even more, and they want to serve Krishna more. So in this way, bliss in the spiritual world takes place by the pleasure that Krishna gets from the devotee's service and the pleasure that the devotee gets from how Krishna responds to him. So this is the perfect spiritual world. So when we hear these descriptions here, we should not think that there is any imperfection here. Rather, it's a display of the extreme mercy of Krishna, how he wants to please everybody. In the story of the 16,000 queens, they were actually in a very bad situation because they had been kidnapped by Bulmasura. So in the tradition, Vedic tradition, once somebody is touched or kidnapped or whatever, no one else wants to touch them. So yes, he was a demon and Krishna rescued them, but then what are we going to do with 16,000 queens that no one's going to touch anymore because this demon had touched them? So there was a problem there. That's a social problem. So we have 16,000 women there who can't get married to anybody and have no shelter at that point. The other point, of course, is that these women also, when they were in prison, they had heard about Krishna and they were actually attracted to Krishna more than anybody else. So they were actually devotees. So therefore, Krishna satisfied them, and therefore he married them all. 16,000 captives, queens, he married them all. And there can be no criticism, oh, how can Krishna touch these women who are contaminated by the demons, whatever. They also were very special. They were devotees of the Lord, and they were pure also. Krishna has relationships only with the purest of the pure. So therefore, these persons were pure. So he disregarded the common social etiquette, and instead, He fulfilled their desires because they were great devotees of the Lord. So all of this expresses the perfection of the Supreme Lord in pleasing His devotees. The Lord wants to give the highest bliss to all of His devotees and to satisfy them. So in the material world, we have problems because we want to have perfection, we want to have complete happiness, but all of our attempts are met with dissatisfaction. We may get some little happiness in the material world, but we also get a lot of dissatisfaction. And even if we get the happiness, it is not really satisfying. So the full satisfaction comes from an expression of love, which is reciprocal between oneself and the object of love. So in the material world, we also try that, and therefore most people get married. But again, it is not fully satisfying. So there is perfection in the spiritual world in a relationship with Krishna. There's also love there. And that love can be expressed in terms of servant and master, or as friends, or as parents with Krishna, or as husband, wife, or a conjugal relationship. So all the different relationships we may have here to express love in the material world are there in the spiritual world. But they are perfect because the center of love is God. And He is perfect. And therefore He responds perfectly. And when we have pure love and we can express that, then we are qualified for that relationship with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, He is very, very merciful, and today is His appearance day. So He appeared to reveal particularly the love that Krishna expresses for His devotees, because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So one, He revealed Swayam Bhagavan Krishna as the most attractive object who can respond with the most sweet and intimate love for His devotees. And He also revealed the sequence of rasas up to the highest rasa, Mandariya rasa, okay, which involves the gopis and Krishna and Radha and Krishna. So even though it's the highest relationship, very, very mercifully He has given that to the world through His great special quality, Audarja, very generous, or magnanimous, Vadanya, and through the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, Nam Sankirtan, in the form of Hare Krishna. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful. He has appeared and He has given His mercy and He has given the holy name for us. And that way, we get the opportunity to realize Krishna and all these high relationships. And this way we get the highest bliss. We get to stop that. Okay. Hare Krishna.